In this situation, it was appropriate for David to flee. We find the same thing in Paul's life when he was being a missionary, that he slipped through windows and avoided persecution at times. And that is all within the sovereign plan of God, that he works his protection for his people. Secondly, sometimes there's conflict with human authority, right? What do we do about that? If the scripture says that we're to obey human authority, and Jonathan would have been in a kind of a precarious situation, Michal as well, because the human authority is saying, let's put David to death. Well, they made decisions contrary to their human authority. When do we do that if the scripture tells us to obey human authority? So, a little sidetrack here. What do we do when human authority conflicts with God's authority? I'm going to give you 4 points. Might be helpful for you. The first one is that we submit to the human authority, recognizing that God has given all human authority. We submit to that authority unless asked to sin. Okay, that authority asks us to sin. In this case, I would consider murdering David or executing him, because Saul certainly had the authority and the power to do that, but to execute him without cause is wrong. So Jonathan makes a decision, of course, not to submit to his father's will at that point. And we have him responding with reason. You see, he goes to his father. He says, look, Jonathan, Pop, David has been, he's done very well. His deeds have been beneficial to you. He has not sinned. There's nothing going on there. He's not trying to raise up people to kill you or to take over the kingdom. You know, there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. There's no reason to put him to death. So he reasons with Saul, and he is successful for a period of time. Okay, in Daniel, we find Daniel offering a creative alternative to the authority over him. He is required with the young men of the court to eat the food from the king's table, and of course the law in the Old Testament to the Jews were that they were not supposed to eat unclean food. And Daniel has decided, you know, my father's sin, and so we ended up here exiled in Babylon, but I'm not going to sin against God in this area. I'm going to obey him and not eat unclean food. And so he goes to the man in charge. He says, listen, we can't eat unclean food, so I want to eat fruit and vegetables. And so then he reasons with him. He says, well, if you'll let us eat this food, and he says, if we're not healthier than everybody else in here, then we'll submit, you know, but let us, he offered a creative alternative. And the guy in charge said, well, I got to answer to Nebuchadnezzar, and he'll cut my head off if you don't eat this food and you're not healthy. So Daniel says, well, we'll be healthy. Just let us eat the clean foods that God gave for us. So he offered a creative alternative and was granted permission for that. And we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were to bow down before the idol. And so they simply would not do it. And what we need to understand is that when we disobey authority, human authority that God has placed over us, that we have to make a decision to accept the consequences and disobey when it involves sin, because we have a higher authority, don't we? God is our higher authority. So that is a situation, that is an instance when we would disobey and accept the consequences. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it meant that they were thrown into the furnace. They were executed. And of course, God preserved them in that particular situation. Other times, there have been those that have obeyed God and had to pay for it with their blood, but still would obey as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego intended. So there's some good principles. There's others there, but I thought that might be helpful to you. Let's look at the last verses in our chapter here as we see David fleeing at this point in time. David fled and escaped and came to Samuel in verse 18 there at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is in Naoth in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. But when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying with Samuel standing and residing over them, the Spirit of God came upon them, and the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. So Saul sent messengers again a third time, and they also prophesied. Then he himself went to Ramah and came as far as the large well that is at Sekku, and he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And someone said, "Behold, they are Naoth and Ramah." And he proceeded there to Naoth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also, so that he went along prophesying continually until he came to Naoth and Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel, and lay down naked all day long and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets. Now here we have God providentially in his sovereignty protecting David in a supernatural way. So we see a number of different ways in which the sovereign hand of God protects David. He flees at one point from the persecutions of Saul. Here Saul comes and God simply intervenes, and he goes into an ecstatic state and prophesies. And normally it says that he took his clothes off. Normally that means that he took, in the Old Testament, that would be the idea of taking off their cloak so that their inner tunic, and that was sometimes spoken of as nakedness, and probably would have been the case in that instance. But each one of these groups prophesied, and God's Spirit simply intervened. And God sometimes does that when he protects us sovereignly, doesn't he? And sometimes we pray. A couple of weeks ago, we prayed for Jerry and Sarah Maddox, and they were in a situation where their lives were in danger, and there was a man, or two men at their door, and one of them with a rifle. And so we got on our knees as a church body and prayed for them, and God delivered Jerry and Sarah. We need to keep praying for them because they're in a very serious situation. But God is able to intervene in many different ways. He's able to sovereignly protect us. And we remember by Jerry's testimony that we went on the field to expecting to give our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We expect to die. And so they had those decisions and made those decisions ahead of time. And yet God is going to determine their length of life and how their ministry goes, and he is well able to protect them in many ways. And so we see God sovereignly intervening, God sovereignly protecting, and we notice these decisions are made. Here's a few more decisions in this passage that we might consider. Number one is that our decisions are sometimes interrupted by God. God just simply does not allow us to make a wrong decision. He intervenes by his mercies and keeps us from doing something wrong. In this case, that was what happened with Saul. He had every intention. He had already decided in his heart. He had willed with his power as a king to do damage to David, and God simply would not allow it. He intervened. Isn't that great? That's true with us as well. Another point that we would make about our decisions, and I take this from the New Testament, just a few points to as we consider and think about things. We must be trained for discernment. The Scripture says in Hebrews 5:14, "But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So according to the Scripture, we need to practice, we need to be trained to have our senses trained to discern good and evil, to make decisions. All right. So God wants for us as his people to practice making the right choices. And sometimes it gets difficult. Sometimes there are situations where we have conflicting authority over us. The human authority says to do this. We have find the principles of God's word. And as we think about those and apply God's word as it's laid up in our heart, we make our decisions based upon the practice that we have been given to discern good and evil. And so as God's people, again, we need to learn to take in on a regular basis solid food from God's Word. Not the milk of the Word, but solid food. You know, how to discern, how to exercise wisdom, how to exercise sound judgment. We need it these days. We live in troubled times in our world, and there are conflicts that we're going to have increasingly as God's people, as His children. So we need His Spirit, but we need solid food from His Word so that we learn to discern between good and evil. And we, as God's people, are able to hold forth the word of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and give answers to those who need to know answers by our lives. We live in such a way, in such a manner, that we glorify God and honor Him. And so we need to learn. We need to be trained. Thirdly, we need to learn obedience. Okay, not only do we need to learn how to discern and make good decisions, but we need to learn obedience to God. The scripture in Hebrews 5:8 says that although Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Isn't this the case with David? Isn't it the case? David is being prepared. David has a plan for his life. He's got a plan for you. You understand? God, in His sovereignty, has called you for God's purposes. Just like David. And just like David, He's going to prepare certain things in your life, equip you, and train you for the things that He has for you in the future. Right now, the troubles, the obstacles that you're facing in life are designed to prepare you and to bring you to the place to where He is going to be able to use you in a powerful way in the future. That's what the Scripture teaches us about life. I want to say that, and I want to say it personally to some of you this morning, because I know that you're going through difficult times, and I know that there's some very significant obstacles in your life. But what is essential in those obstacles in life is that we, like the Lord Jesus, who demonstrated before us, we're learning obedience to the Father. It's the key thing. It's the thing that we must not forget, that we must not take our eyes off of, with the understanding that God has a plan, He has a purpose for our future. And as called individuals, He's going to lay out His plan and purpose for us. And these obstacles are His design, by His design. Even though good and bad people are making decisions around us that affect us, that are outside of our control, God in His sovereignty orchestrates the events to plan, to build character in our lives, and to prepare for our future, those things that He has for us. That makes me excited. It makes me excited for some of you because I know how hard the trials have been. I know that it's been difficult, that the obstacles are insurmountable, that humanly speaking, it's that I can't overcome. I can't do this. I find within myself insufficient and inadequacy of my human flesh to deal with this obstacle. And yet God is sovereign. He is able. He is well able and to teach us that we might learn. And these are the things, I'm going to skip this verse this morning because I often relate back to it. But it was out of Christ's obedience that God exalted Him. It says that He, the Son, learned obedience. Now, if Jesus had to learn obedience, what makes us think that we're going to waltz our way through life without learning some of these tough lessons? No, we learn obedience. And Jesus, willing to submit Himself to the will of the Father to the extent of going to the cross of Calvary and bearing the shame of our sin upon Himself. Therefore, God highly exalted Him. You see, the Father had a sovereign plan. And Jesus, as the Son who came in the flesh and demonstrated for us what it was that we needed most this day, demonstrated that in the will of God, in the plan of God, there is the end of it. And the end of it is high exaltation. It was with David, and it was with David's offspring, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and demonstrated God's favor. So the point here this morning is that God protects and prepares His king. As David learns obedience from God's providential hand. He learns several things here. And let's just kind of review those a little bit or think about them. How to conduct oneself in the king's court. David came as a shepherd boy. He was a talented musician, so he was ended up putting in the king's court, and he learned the manners and customs of the king's court. Okay? He learned about the ambitious manipulation of men to ingratiate themselves to a king. There he was in the king's court, and he sees all these guys, they're ambitious people trying to one-up everybody. And he gets a good dose of that. These men are some of the ones that are at his palace. They're going to take his life because they want to ingratiate themselves to the king. Thirdly, he learned how to lead soldiers in combat. Notice how God is pulling these events in his life, preparing him to be a good king. He learned how to strategize against one of the most well-trained armies in the world, the Philistine armies. Those were the plans of a sovereign God in putting into action certain things in David's life to make him ready to rule. So we find that man's volition, whether he makes good choices or bad, ultimately works together to accomplish God's sovereign purposes. Saul made bad decisions. Jonathan made good decisions. God took them both, orchestrated them in David's life for God's purposes. And that's what's happening to you. Think about it. Okay? You got some boss that's over you, and he's irrational, and it just doesn't make any sense, and you're dealing with some situation that's just beyond what someone should have to deal with. But God has a plan, and he takes that boss's bad decision, and as you submit like David did and behave yourself wisely, you put yourself under that authority. In David's case, Saul was a wicked authority, yet he didn't raise his hand against him. He didn't try to overthrow him. He wasn't sneakily trying to dismantle Saul. He was simply behaving himself before God as God would have him behave, learning obedience in difficult circumstances. God was taking those obstacles, honing David's character, preparing him for a future, and he is you too. It's a wonderful plan that our Father has for us, for each one of us. Wonderful things. In 1 Peter, we find Peter, an apostle, this is in chapter 1, of Jesus Christ to the pilgrims of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter is addressing believers. Same principles here are applying to them that apply to David in this situation. These guys have been dispersed. Okay, it says there's three verbs here, or participles. It says the elect of God, that means they were chosen for something. God had a plan for their lives. That's believers. That's you and me as well. We can apply it over into our life. They were pilgrims. That means that they're making a sojourn through this life. This is not their home. And they were of the dispersion or scattered. I put a couple of extra versions on here because they use different words. We find those aliens scattered, the same words there, pilgrims dispersed or aliens scattered. They're the ones who are chosen or the ones who elect. Okay, so we find in our versions there the picture that you're chosen. And Peter comes along, and you remember it says that he is to nurture the sheep, to shepherd the sheep. And Jesus asked him to do that. It's the last thing he asked. So here's Peter doing that. He comes to them, he says, hey, you guys, you're scattered. You've lost your homes. You lost your friends. You lost probably most of their finances. Things are bad in human terms. But he comes to them, he says, do you know that the Father has a plan for you? You are chosen. You were elect by God. You have been brought here for His purposes. And you're just a pilgrim passing through here, and you've been scattered here for purposes that you cannot understand. But the Father has a plan. In His will, He is planning to spread the gospel throughout Asia. Okay? So these bad events that took place and happened to them were for purposes that God had. That's the same way in your life. He has chosen you. He has chosen you for purposes that you probably won't understand. And that they certainly couldn't understand, but Peter was encouraging them. And we need to be encouraged this morning. David was learning obedience. We need to learn obedience as well, submitting to the will of the Father, knowing His wonderful plan for our lives. Okay? Isaiah 55, 89 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I want to ask you a very personal question this morning, because I know that some of you are going through trials and you've got some huge obstacles in your way. Are you able to submit to this truth in Scripture? Are you able to say right now in your heart this morning, "Lord, I know that, my ways are not your ways, that your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and I do not understand why you're taking me through this particular trial or why I have to face this particular obstacle, but I am willing in my heart to yield to you. I'm willing to submit knowing that your ways are higher than the heavens are above the earth, and your ways are better than my ways. And eternally, in the long term, I'm willing to trust you in this moment with my life. I'm willing to trust you with my future. I'm willing by faith to say and address my own heart that I'm willing to wait it out, to put my trust in you, to bear up under the obstacles, that Jesus Christ might be glorified, that I might be, learn obedience, that I might be trained to discern a good decision from a bad decision." Jeremiah 10:23 says, "I know, Lord, that a man's ways are not in himself, nor is in man who walks to direct his steps." God directs your steps. He is the one in charge. He is the one that has a plan for your life. He is the one that is able. "For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation." You see, you're going to know His power. You're going to know His strength. You're going to know the salvation of God when the heart submits to the sovereign plan of God. When your decisions are given over to Him, so that you're saying, "God, whatever it is that you want for me to decide, what it is that I need to do in order to be in obedience to you, to wait, to trust, to look to you, I'm willing to do." Putting the wicked boss aside, or the friend or the peers that are acting contrary and hurtful to you. It could be an unjust boss or your co-worker or a peer or another person that the Lord uses, that He uses the most to purify your life, to hone your character, and to prepare you for the future that He has for you. Have you ever thought about that? It could be that obstacle that God is using most powerfully. And what He asks is that you would humble yourself and trust Him. That's the demand upon the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take us back to the statement that we looked at as we began this book. God's purposes will be accomplished. The individual or group's actions and attitudes in light of God's purposes will determine their ultimate destiny. And that's the challenge before you and me this morning. Will we submit? Will we obey? Will we seek after His lordship and direction in our lives, the sovereign hand of God working? Or will we, as Saul, stand obstinately against those things which God has intended and purpose for our lives? End with Psalm 59, 16, and 17. This is the psalm that was birthed out of this situation for David, and these are his words. At the end of the psalm, he says, "But as for me, I shall sing of thy strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of thy loving kindness in the morning. For thou hast been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to thee, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness." No doubt, as Saul and those men came before the prophets and they fell in ecstasy prophesying before David and Samuel, that David knew the sovereign and providential and powerful protective hand of God. And that's what we need most of all. We need to be intimately associated with that one who is able to work such salvation in our lives. He is able. We must trust, but He is able. Father in heaven, thank you for your gracious mercies. May we put our trust in you and know your salvation.